In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
Yeah, this album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing, to all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter. It's all my people's in the struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine, fucking Pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine, hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, rap attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? The hard. You never thought that hip hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? Easter on G, Brucey B, kick your brain. Funk master flex, love bug star key. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call a crib, same number, same hood. It's all good. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. I made the change from a common thief to up close and personal with Robin Leach. And I'm far from cheap. I smoke skunk with my peeps all day. Spread love, it's the Brooklyn way. The Moet and Alizé keep me busy. Girls used to diss me, now they write letters cause they miss me. I never thought it could happen, this rapping stuff. I was too used to packing gats and stuff. Now honeys play me close like butter play toast. From the Mississippi down to the East Coast. Condos in Queens, in dough for weeks. Sold out seats to hear Biggie Small speak. Living life without fear, putting 5 carats in my baby girl ear. Lunches, brunches, interviews by the pool. Considered a fool cause I dropped out of high school. Stereotypes of a black male misunderstood, and it's still all good. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. When I was just broke, man, I couldn't picture this. 50-inch screen, money green, leather sofa. Got 2 rides, a limousine with the chauffeur. Phone bill about 2 G's flat. No need to worry, my account handles that. And my whole crew is lounging. celebrating every day, no more public housing. Thinking back on my one room shack, now my mom puts the act with nicks on her back. And she loved to show me off, of course. Smiles every time my face is up in the store. We used to fuss when the landlord dissed us. No heat, wonder why Christmas missed us. Birthdays was the worst days. Now we sip champagne when we thirsty. Damn right, I like the life I live. Cause I went from negative to positive, and it's all. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga.
I feel the love, I feel it.
And if you don't know, now you know, nigga.
Folks, what is up? It is So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. This is your pal Ryan. This is your Thursday episode. Whew, guys, do you feel that chill in the air? That means that the Vanderpump Rules reunion is filming as you listen to this. If you listen to this today, Thursday. If not, then, you know, it's not going to be filming anymore. But it is filming today. We have word that everyone will be there, including Raquel and Sheener. And yeah, I call her Sheener. so we do that news story later in the show. But I'm expecting so many leaks today, Thursday, and that'll be all in Friday's episode, as well as a full recap of tonight's Vanderpump Rules. Man, there was a lot. And we'll also be talking about the return of an ancient evil. Jaxith Taylor returns to watch What Happens Live with his wife, Brittany Cartwright. And I already watched it. I need to percolate on it. I need to think about it before I know exactly what I want to say to you guys about it. I was conflicted. I was excited. Oh, but here's the deal. And I talk about this later in a news story. I got to retire, you guys, because Jackson Brittany, their podcast launches on Tuesday. So they're going to put me just flat out of business. I mean, I can't compete with that. You got Jax Taylor doing a pod. I'm out. Like, no, I'm retiring after Friday. My goodness. How are you guys doing? Gosh, what a wild week. I'm so sorry. Like, I mean, listen, I release usually 5 days a week. I had to take yesterday off. By the way, and I didn't really fully take it off because I still did like an hour plus Patreon episode about a full recap of Summer House, that episode from Monday. So it wasn't fully off, but it kind of was. I just, you know, sometimes you just like life catches up with you. And I was kind of not in any kind of crisis moment, but I was bummed. And like, I have that kind of Catholic guilt bummed where I still kind of work. Like I get through things and I'm like, okay, this will be good. But then just to get up and just work is sometimes so hard. So I didn't put out a show yesterday, but I put out so much content. Literally, I mean, it's disgusting how much content I put out. By the way, I put up an Instagram post about something today and some lady wrote, hey, I just found your podcast due to the Scandoval. You're really weird, but I think I like it. I mean, there's no better review than the show's really weird, but I think I like it. That's what it is. So welcome. Welcome to the weirdness. You are welcome here, one and all. Remember, there are timestamps. This episode is going to be broken down into a couple different sections. Listen, for the first time ever, I've got my sister joining So Bad It's Good today. My sister, Kara, and my niece, Addison. They went to the opening night of the Taylor Swift Eras concert last Friday in Glendale, Arizona. And we talk, she gives a review, and Addison, my niece, is on there as well. And she's only like, my niece is like 13. And she definitely doesn't think this is cool to be doing a podcast, but I think it's actually, I was really excited to have them on, and it was really, really fun. And by the way, I wanted to talk about this up top. And I'll probably talk a little bit about this on Friday's episode as well. If you weren't paying attention, Raquel Levis on Instagram, social media, the death of us all, Rob Dyrdek's wife, did an Instagram post talking about being neurodivergent or potentially or on the spectrum, and talking about her struggles with it and you know, how far she's come, and it, you know, very inspirational. And Raquel Rachel Levis, you know, put a comment under or underneath it, something to the effect of, like, I know how that feels, or, you know, something like that, of kind of relating to this post. It was just one comment, right? But we all took it as like, is Raquel Rachel coming out as on the spectrum? Is she neurodivergent? Is she, you know, is she dealing with something more? Is that potentially, and my mind was running wild, because I've tried to kindly talk about Raquel Rachel even before the Scandoval thing, where I just could never, I can't get a beat on her whenever I've been around her, and she's always been nice. And sometimes I'll notice in the scenes, it doesn't seem like she accurately reads people's human emotions. That doesn't mean on the spectrum, by the way. It's just sometimes people can and people can't, but she always seemed like she really cannot. In fact, one of the big examples was she kept telling Katie, I want to make out with your husband, Tom Schwartz. She said it so many times in so many different scenarios where I was like, oh my God, why? Katie's told you how much this upsets her. Katie's mom even told Raquel how much it upsets her, and she keeps doing it. What would possess somebody to do that? Because Raquel doesn't come off as an unfeeling person on camera. I think she's an unfeeling person now. And unfeeling doesn't mean evil. It just means not able to feel or empathize with other people. And it seems like that is wildly missing, even as a 28-year-old. And we're going to get into her Man on the Street interview with a TMZ reporter for Backgrid today. Don't worry. I've got the audio. I'm going to walk you through that. So anyways, she said that. And listen, I was very fascinated about this, because I genuinely had that thought in my mind. Now, there is... and you would think this would be obvious to people. A thought in my mind does not mean a diagnosis, right? You can only get a diagnosis from a medical professional. You can't even self-diagnose. I mean, you can, and we do all the time. My mom used to do it with WebMD all the time. But you can't. You have to have a professional give you a diagnosis for that, you know, for you to be able to claim these things. Like even me saying Tom Sandoval is a narcissist, most likely I would think, but that's not an official diagnosis. But it was fascinating talking about this on Instagram, because I had so many people in the comments, mostly positive. And I don't mean positive of like, yay, she might be, you know, but people sharing their stories. People, and by the way, I have two listeners who I love, who are in my Patreon, that do have children on the spectrum, and they are two of the best people I know in that group. And another thing that I wanted to share with you up top, and my sister shares, if you listen to the interview with my sister at the very end, I bring the Raquel story up. I talked to my sister about this yesterday, and I brought up, and she doesn't watch Vanderpump Rules, but my sister is a registered nurse. I think she's brilliant in a lot of ways, and she worked with autistic kids when, you know, in college and after that, and you know, worked very hands-on day in, day out. So we talked about this, and we talked about official diagnoses. And the other thing is, you know, I'm very sensitive to people, you know, because there's a lot of thoughts, because everybody now all of a sudden nowadays with pop culture is a pop culture expert, right? Me, you, everybody on TikTok. And that usually just means you really love pop culture. And unfortunately, there's not a degree at Harvard for pop culture yet. So we can all just call ourselves these. But it is interesting, because we do know, and we bandy about this term all the time about, oh, this is PR crisis. This is crisis PR. This is, they've paid to people to make this statement. And yeah, sometimes that is very true. But my fear, and I really hope that this in no way was Raquel trying to put another breadcrumb down of like, well, listen, you know, I did this horrible, horrible thing that most people wouldn't do because potentially I'm on the spectrum. And we don't know this. Like I said, that was not an official statement. That was just a comment. And we do know from a friend of Raquel Rachel's that reached out even on that post saying that I believe she was diagnosed with ADHD. And sometimes those two things can be confused. Maybe she meant that. But who knows? I think we'll find out more about that at the reunion as well. But it's very dangerous. And what I was going to share with you guys is that, you know, somebody in my family, and my sister brings this up, is that somebody in my family that I'm very close to is on the spectrum and neurodivergent. And what they say, and they're a younger person, is that it, you would never want to fake something like that because there's a lot of challenges that come with a diagnosis like that. There's a, you know, it makes things sometimes a lot harder for the people with that. So for anybody to use that in any sort of other way would just be really, really horrible. And I hope in no way that's what, I mean, like, listen, Raquel Rachel did a horrible, horrible thing. Tom Sandoval, I mean, just even worse than Raquel Rachel, if we're going to put it into some kind of contest. But my God, it's been wild to watch these people try to throw out nuggets to the press, everybody. And the whole Vanderpump economy, which I keep talking about, you got Lala selling shirts, you got Sheena doing Patreon, you got everybody is getting their moment because they realize that these kind of horrific events, I mean, actually in Vanderpump Rules, they seem to happen quite often, but something this big only comes around. I mean, listen, they had written off this show last season. It got the worst ratings of any season since the beginning. And so, by the way, we're wondering what the episode count is because tonight was episode number 7 and I was hearing they were doing 18 episodes and all of a sudden we find out that they're doing 12. And my only thought now, because I've been trying to piece it together in my mind all week, is that, oh, they probably gave it a lower series order. They do this with TV shows that they don't really truly believe in, is that they're not going to pay for 18 episodes. They're going to pay for 12. And hopefully it does good. You'll see this with Summer House still. You'll see this with Southern Charm still. They don't have large seasons like the Housewives do, right? So that is my overall thought. But now this happened and they're like, F it, tack on, make a couple new episodes and we're going to do a big reunion. So I think at the end of the day, you're going to end up seeing 17 episodes once you include the reunion, the new episode they filmed, all of that stuff. And really, I am so curious what is going to happen, right? And by the way, in the pop culture roundup part of this, I do a Bailey Mail, which is just, I call it the Bailey Mail, but it's the Daily Mail stories that we've cherry picked over the internet. Maritza Lopez cherry-picked these and they're amazing. And I had so much fun talking about it. And we even talk about that Demois Blind about Ariana and Tom sitting down for a one-on-one with Andy at the reunion. Now I do have insider information that I talk about in that segment, which will make it a little more clear what that blind actually is. And it's only partially true. Which, that's the thing, even with blinds, remember, there's a seed of truth, but it doesn't always mean everything's true, okay? So, listen, if you like this show, and why wouldn't you? I am delightful. Please leave it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You might think it means nothing, but it actually means a lot, and it means a lot to any podcaster, so do it for any podcast that you listen to. Secondly, if you want more content and why would you not go over on the Patreon, patreon.com/SoBadIt'sGood. I've been putting about 3.5 hours of extra content on there every week. We even did a live last week. We did a live the week before. There's been a lot of stuff over on that Patreon. And that's, I think it, oh, the YouTube channel, go over to the YouTube, So Bad It's Good. We've been putting up these really cool videos. I did that VPR mid-season trailer recap, which I put on this podcast, but the images that Meditza picked for it were amazing. So it's really fun to watch the YouTube aspect of it. So go subscribe over there. And that's the same as this, the segment that we're going to do, the Daily Mail, the Bailey Mail. That is also a YouTube segment where Meditza is, she's the one putting up the pictures and stuff. And it was a lot of fun. So you're going to hear the audio of that today. But I think it's really cool to watch it on YouTube as well. So let's get started. I want to get started with Raquel Rachel Levis. She was at a nail salon in Los Angeles. Now, it is so funny, all of these, all of a sudden, these paparazzi and all that stuff, like, you know, they had her with Graham, the dog, checking the dog into boarding in Arizona. And the shot looked like it was like right next to her. It wasn't like a telephoto lens. It was right there. Then today we had somebody catch her outside of LAX. And then today this dude walks right up to her outside of a nail salon because You know, when you're going to get your nails done, you usually sit right outside. Like, literally, there's chairs in there. This is so set up that it made the Tom Schwartz walk and talk at LAX look just completely spur of the moment. But also want to point out, and this is how sad I am with my ears, I was like, oh my God, it's the same guy doing this interview with Raquel Rachel, who did the same interview with Schwartz at the airport, and also who found Ariana outside of the Starbucks over in Valley Village yesterday. Now, the Ariana one, I totally believe, because it was just a real quick, hey, honey, it's good to see Raquel at the reunion. And Ariana was like, who? I don't know who that is, which, classic. And that was it. It was real quick. By the way, congratulations, Ariana. She actually booked a lead in a Lifetime movie starring Megan Good. We talk about that in the news as well. So that is awesome. It's great when good things happen to good people. Also, she's actually back on Instagram, and she got a sponsorship for, vibrators. I've seen a lot of the, like, you know, reality stars do this. Now, I don't use vibrators in my everyday life yet, but I feel like I'm going to buy one just to support Ariana, but it's over there on our Instagram if you want to support. But anyways, this guy walks up to it, and he's like, always really casual, but the thing with the Raquel one, it was the same thing with the Schwartz one, where Schwartz was like, oh, what's up, man? What's going on, dude? Oh, I'm just chilling at the airport. And he's like, Tom, what do you think about Sandoval cheating on Ariana? Oh, man, that's wild. I don't know. It's not good. I'll tell you that. It's like, think about if you're a regular person or even somebody with a little bit of notoriety, a reality show, a stranger comes up to you out of nowhere and starts asking you intensely personal questions. Would you be like, oh, yeah, I'll answer those? Usually, no. You'd be like, gotta go, dude. Thank you so much. Yeah, stay, you know, the reunion's coming up. Watch the reunion. That's what you would do. But you really know when these things are a little set up or tipped off or planned out a little bit, because they're like full on interviews. And I was like, dude, I was watching the Raquel one, and she's literally in front of the nail salon, even though you could completely go outside, and she has this weird smile on her face, like she's not surprised at all that a man with a camera is in her face asking intensely personal questions. She's like, hey, Raquel, what's going on? You're having a tough time. Here, let's listen to this together as a family, and we'll stop start this thing. Let's do this.
Hey, Raquel, how are you?
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good.
How are you holding up ever since everything broke out?
I'm holding up okay.
Okay.
Rough, but I think
in
there.
Okay.
Like, she's completely mellow, like, a little rough, you know, like, it's like me if I'm like, well, I had Chipotle and I'm a little gassy right now. Like, my God, think about this. This is how set up this is, where it's not like, excuse me, what's your, like, she didn't even go into the nail salon. She just starts answering questions. Like, literally, I'm like, if it's legitimately this easy to talk to, like, reality stars, just feel free to walk up to them and ask them the most insanely personal questions just right out of the gate. According to this interview, you're going to be fine. They will answer everything.
I see your face kind of cleared up.
Yeah.
That's good. Sheena claims she never hit you. Is that true? Or is she, like, who's lying? Who's saying the truth? Like,
Sheena knows what happened that night.
Uh-huh.
I'm not gonna go into it too much.
Okay.
I do have a permanent scar.
Okay.
On my eyebrow.
Oh wow! Yeah, I see it.
So
then he's like, I see your skin cleared up. And it's like, yeah, I'm using Accutane. It's going great. Thank you for noticing. I mean, like, what the hell? And then they go into the big one. You know, is Sheena said she didn't hit you? And she's like, Sheena knows what happens. I have a permanent scar on my eyebrow. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, I can see it. And he kind of zooms in, and I can't really see it. So I don't know about a permanent scar, but I've got, like, weirdly permanent scars. Like, one time, I think, like, I fell on some gravel when I was a kid. There's a scar there. I don't know, man. But all of this is, like, really weirdly monotone. Like, you could have just been like, I feel like absolute dog shit, and this is just the worst nightmare that's happening to me ever. Oh, and by the way, just while we're at it, of course, I'm going to be talking nonstop about Raquel Rachel doing the dab on tonight's episode. What is this? Is this 2019? We're doing we're dabbing still and talking heads? Like, what the, like, are you going to do a robot or the running man? Are you out, the Roger Rabbit? Are you kidding me? You dabbed in your talking head? That was like a big moment of victory? My God, it's sociopathic. But now that I'm thinking about it, it would kind of have been funny if she consistently dabbed during the TMZ interview.
Okay, how do you feel about the show tomorrow? Just seeing, meeting everyone.
I know I have to take accountability for my actions.
Yeah.
To do that.
Okay.
And,
okay. Have you apologized to Ari yet? Have you guys talked, or how's that?
I talked on the phone. Mm-hmm. And I apologized to her over okay. text, but she didn't yeah. receive it very well.
Okay. Once again, I feel like this is potentially another mistake, because it's like you're telling deeply personal stuff to a TMZ reporter before you actually do it on the show. But also, it's kind of wildly insensitive if you're anybody but Ariana at this point, right? Like, you know, like, yeah, I called her the day it broke and I talked to her on the phone and then I texted her, but it wasn't received well. Like, how do you know it wasn't received well? And by the way, of course it wouldn't be received well. Wait, what are you going to get, a text and then just emojis of like thumbs up, like two thumbs up, like Heather Gay? Are you kidding? Like, should we throw a party that Raquel texted her? Like, my God. Also, after the first phone call, I don't know if I'd check on a backup text of like, hey, it's a couple days later, just checking if you forgive me for banging your boyfriend of 9 years consistently over 7 months and still try to continue to be your best friend. And yeah, sorry, I watched tonight's episode and you were still sticking up for me with Lala and Katie.
Okay, what'd she say back?
I prefer not to say.
Okay, it was probably
just know it yeah. wasn't well. Yeah.
You prefer not to say. You've literally said everything in this entire interview, and now here's one that's just too. It's too hard. I can't answer this one.
Okay. How did it start? Like, you and Tom. Was it just something that just happened out the ordinary, or is, you know?
It started off as the friendship.
Okay.
And turn into something more.
Once again, how desperate is Raquel Rachel to talk to somebody where she's offering up this kind of, like, started off as friends, but then turned into something more. Like, my God. Listen, she's lied to her close friends around her for the last 7 months, but a TMZ reporter comes up to him like, listen, you have kind eyes. Let me tell you everything.
Uh-huh.
But I'm sure we'll go into detail.
Yeah.
All of that.
Okay. What was the kiss to you and Tom? People think it was a cover-up for the other Tom, you and Tom Schwartz. Uh-huh. When you guys kissed, people think it was a cover-up for you and Tom's affair. Is that true, or was that just for...
No, that's not true. Okay. I genuinely had an interest in Tom Schwartz.
Yeah.
And there's a genuine curiosity there. So
okay.
It just keeps getting funnier to me. First off, and also, if anybody knows who this guy is, can you please? I need to talk to this guy. I need to know if he actually watches Vanderpump Rules. He's obviously, you know, works for Backgrid and all of the, you know, like, he's obviously around town talking to celebrities and people like that. But I need to know if he was made, like, if he just was given questions, if he's a fan of the show at all, because I need to know this. I really do. And I think, the Schwartz stuff is interesting here too, because she even comes up with that and going like, no, I was genuinely interested in making out with him too, which is totally fine. So that question's out of the way. That was one of the big things that needed to be cleared up. The other thing, though, we always talk about reliable narrators on this show. Is Raquel Rachel a reliable narrator anymore? She's been able to consistently lie to a degree that has fooled a lot of people. I mean, Tom Sandoval being the biggest liar of the bunch, but can we believe anything that she says? That's a question that I have. Now, you know who used to do the, like, I miss the days of, like, the Spencer Pratts and the Heidi Montags and, like, the people with real, and I hate to say it, panache around these things. You know, like, they really knew how to do a paparazzi interview when somebody came up to him. Like, be a little aggressive, be a little snarky, be a little, it's not just like, yes, I'll answer anything.
All right, so are we going to see more of you and Tom Sandoval, or what's your relationship with them? When's the last time you talked to him?
I don't know where our relationship is going to be.
Okay.
We're just kind of trying to get through these next few steps and trying to, you know, make amends, hear everybody out. I know a lot of people are angry. So I think just getting through these next few steps and seeing where it goes.
Yeah.
We're not putting a label on anything. Just kind of like taking a breath for now.
Okay. Have you talked to any other cast members?
No, I haven't.
No, you haven't? Okay, have they reached out or they've just been...
No.
I feel like people attack you too much. I mean, things happen. And I mean, we all make mistakes. And I feel like sometimes, you know, people kind of need to not attack someone too much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, crap. Now I feel bad. The TMZ photographer said we attack people too much. You know what? The TMZ photographer that makes his living going out and putting cameras in celebrities' faces, you know what? I think he's right. He's completely right. Oh my goodness. I never thought about it that way. It takes a very special TMZ paparazzi to really make me think about my actions. And like, just the nonchalance of like, hi, we've upset a lot of people, so I guess I gotta go to the reunion and just listen to people. And a lot of people are mad. You know, it's like there just seems to be a non-recognition of, do you know what angry means? Like, do you know how angry? Like, it's just so weirdly nonchalant.
Yeah, and I feel like you're taking accountability.
I've been kind of off social media altogether.
Okay.
She said she's been off social media altogether, right? She just said that. But that's why the one comment on Rob Dyrdek's wife's post is interesting. Because she was off social media. She wasn't responding or liking or anything like that with anybody else's post. But that one post she all of a sudden interacts with. That's why I thought it was weird as well.
Advice to do that, so.
Yeah, that was smart.
But it has been a lot. But I guess, you know, there's consequences to my actions.
Yeah.
I don't really think it through too much. So here we are.
Okay. What do you think about Lala? She's been kind of aggressive towards you.
Yeah. She always has been aggressive towards
you. Yeah, what's up with that? Why is she so, like, why is she so kind of mean towards you, like, super aggressive?
You would have to ask her that question, but I think it always kind of rubbed her the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. Did Tom Schwartz know about the whole affair? I mean,
no.
He didn't know about it? Okay. So, like, when you guys, when did it start? When's the first time you kind of, you know?
We'll go into that at the reunion tomorrow.
Okay.
So, yeah. Definitely.
All right. There was a rumor on Twitter. I got to ask you that you guys had a threesome. I know it's a little far-fetched. Is that true or?
No, that's not.
Okay. So that's not true. Okay. All right, Raquel, well, I wish you all the best. I hope you have a great day.
Thanks.
All right.
Too.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Raquel, I hope you have a great day. I hope you enjoy your nails, getting your nails did. I would have loved it if he ended up like, quick question, hot dogs or hamburgers, what's your favorite? So ridiculous. And the Lala of it all, of like, you'd have to ask Lala. And by the way, a TMZ photographer did like came up to Lala like last week. So, I mean, by the way, these TMZ people are really in hog heaven with this whole Vanderpump Rules thing where really everybody's getting interviewed right and left. So I wanted you guys to hear that if you hadn't have seen or heard that already. It's just fascinating. We're going to find so much more out about this. So that is that. But I want to play you guys the Bailey Mail, which is kind of like a mini pop culture roundup. A lot of Bravo stories. We talk about Ultimate Girls Trip Season 3, which premieres today. We talk about BravoCon potentially moving to Las Vegas. We go over Jax and Brittany on Watch What Happens Live and their new podcast and so much Vanderpump Rules. So that's it right now. We're going to start this. Remember, there's timestamps too if you want to skip to that. And then after that, you're going to meet my sister and my niece about Taylor Swift. So here we go. Here is the Bailey Mail. You guys, welcome to the Bailey Mail, where I pretty much take a bunch of Daily Mail headlines, Bravo headlines, Vanderpump Rules headlines, and break it down for you as quickly as possible. And we've got so much news to cover. It is Wednesday. We have Vanderpump Rules airing tonight, and the circus is going to start all over again. And tomorrow, we have the reunion finally being filmed, even though it feels like it should be filming 2 months from now, but there is insanity happening. So I'm going to take you through some of the top headlines that are happening and breaking as we speak. So let's get this going. It is just a mess in Vanderpump Rules universe. Now, Des Moines, our friendly neighborhood Des Moines, posted this today in her stories. It says, Vanderpump Rules reunion intel. There will be an exclusive interview during the reunion with just Ariana and Tom. Okay, now I have a couple of sources on this as well that I checked. They are doing something similar to this, but it is not this exactly. Because when I read this, I was like, this is going to be fascinating television, but like, wouldn't it? I mean, just like Ariana having to stand, like Sandoval's not going to be able to defend himself. What I'm hearing potentially is it's not going to be together. It is going to be separate. Not unlike when Andy went to Countess Luann's palatial estate in the Hamptons and did that one-on-one interview. It'll of course be on the set, but at this point I'm looking for this to, I know it'll be three, it could be four, but he will be doing one-on-one interviews probably with Ariana, Tom, and I'm hearing potentially with Rachel, Raquel. I'm ready for my interview. So that is something that they're going to be filming tomorrow as well. It is going to be a hell of an intense day, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of leaks, but we are here hearing there is one leak in particular in that cast, and it's, they said production is like clamped down, but I don't know how hard they're clamping down because it seems like people are spilling all over the place. Okay, so, and by the way, I want to say Maritza Lopez, who does all the amazing graphics and all there, she's operating, she's like the DJ James Kennedy on the ones and twos, so she's operating these kind of visuals while I do this. It's highly entertaining to do. Okay, next slide. Okay, give them Lala. Lala Kent, one of our favorite cast members, very outspoken. She's been very outspoken this season, and last week's episode, she didn't look too good in the sense of they said mean girl in terms of Rachel Raquel. Now, we didn't know at the time that the Tom Sandoval thing was happening. So in retrospect, it's like, okay, you know, I guess Rachel Raquel deserved it. But if you didn't have that story break, you would have thought Lala came off like a mean girl. Now, she did an Amazon Live this week, and she also did her podcast, Give Them Lala, where she talked a lot about this season. I mean, her and Sheena, their podcasts have so much dirt in them about the actual show. It's really interesting. It's stuff behind the scenes that I'm shocked that she's able to share. She's saying that other people are stealing her lines. Like she says, Charlie stole the what you put in your mouth, the dick line. Remember that Charlie said? Which is like, why would you want to take? I mean, it's a fun line, but you're like, that's mine. I'm Shakespeare. That dick line is completely mine. But she says that. She also kind of went on to talk about this season, how she is raring to go, but also it's got to be more than the Ariana and Tom, Rachel, Raquel situation. It's got to be more. I am so curious how Andy is going to maneuver this, because really all we're thinking about is this, but there has been so much happening this season regardless. Also, on the Amazon Live, she was asked if she would want Jax and Brittany back on the show, and she was like, yeah, bring them to Lala. And I'm like, no, Lala, no, do not bring them to Lala. I feel like no cast member, Lala or anyone else, should make any kind of casting decision. No offense to Jax and Brittany. I mean, no offense to Brittany, all offense to Jax. But I sometimes don't like, what, why would we need them? What? Wait. The show's doing really good. In what context would they come back and do the show? Just because Lala wants them there? Lala needs to work on her storylines. And then we'll see if Jax and Brittany can fit anywhere in there. But it'll be fun to watch Lala at the reunion, particularly because she's a verbal assassin in so many ways. So it'll be really interesting to see what she brings. But check out her podcast that came out today, because I think there's a lot of interesting information to check out on there. What else do we got? Okay, Andy Cohen. The Andy Cohen is like Barnum and Bailey's circus. He is just the ringleader of all of this. Now, he went live on Instagram this week and he teased BravoCon 2023. And if you look at this amazing graphic right here, that's not New York, baby. That is Sin City, Las Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Now, I thought it was so charming in New York. We got to go this past year and it really was so exciting. I barely made it out there alive. Vegas seems like that. It would be that on steroids, but take away the charm of New York and add the seediness of Las Vegas. But if you look at this season of Vanderpump Rules and what we're potentially hearing is going to come in Southern Charm with Austin hooking up with Shep Sex, I mean, there is a lot of sin to be had. I'm really just already scared for my bodily functions during this. But what do you guys think? Do you guys think Vegas would be a good place? It is spread out in the same way New York is spread out, but it would just be a nonstop party. I think this is a really interesting opportunity to even expand further than they did in New York. And Bravo kind of in Las Vegas, to me, goes hand in hand. And you know, Lisa Vanderpump will be like, oh, we'll have so many events at Vanderpump Paris. Oh, I own Vegas, me and Nicolaine. So I will be showing up for that. You guys will be showing up for that. And what's so cool, even if you don't have a ticket to the actual convention, there'll be so many Bravo celebrity watching things. You can just show up to like the Rio or something and you'll see Frank Catania running around. I think this is an actual great idea. Unfortunately, I do not want to see Tom Sandoval in the Most Extras play. Even though they do remind me now of a Vegas-type style band. Picture a wardrobe upgrade with quality essentials at an unbeatable price. Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style. You will have them in your closet forever. You guys, I got the blue sports jacket. I got the leather coat. I got the cashmere socks. I've bought gifts for my sister and my dad, and I love it. A black leather coat? Are you kidding me? I can wear that anywhere. And what's so amazing is that these prices I can afford. Quince has all the must-haves like Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50, iconic 100% leather jackets, and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They do this by partnering directly with top factories. Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes that savings on directly to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/sobad for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sobad to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sobad. Folks, I have been to a lot of weddings in my day, and I'm going to go to a couple of this summer, and it is always amazing to see because you get to eat the different food, you get to see the different venues, the emotion, the style, and you are taking mental notes for your future weddings. It's so stressful, the process. You go from like newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. But using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish and makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake, Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want with tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preferences. Every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. So start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, what else do we got? This, Raquel Levis, Raquel Rachel, this is in Tucson. She is dropping off Graham Cracker she's boarding Graham so she can come to the reunion. I have so many questions about this. First off, if you'll notice, this is like paparazzi photos, but it's literally like right in her face. This isn't a telephoto lens. This is, to me, a very staged photo. Not saying Raquel Rachel got paid for this, but I am saying it is extremely staged. Poor Graham, if you see this dog's face, it's literally like, last time I was boarded, I literally got a puncture wound and it's happening again, but I'd rather be boarded than be around the hellhole that is my life. I'd rather go back to DJ James Kennedy at this point. Listen, can't you picture this? Like, this is a, can't you picture Sarah McLachlan music just slowly playing under this? The arms of an angel. And it's like, for $1 a month, you can make sure Graham Cracker is in the hands of none of the cast members of Vanderpump Rules. Also, doesn't Raquel's family live in Tucson or something like that? Like, why can't the family watch the dog? Why is this dog always being boarded? But I'm happy for the dog. Also, real quick, Raquel Levis, right before we did this, she did a Backgrid interview that wound up on TMZ, and you'll see it on a lot of news outlets outside of a nail salon in Los Angeles. They got her at the airport coming in from LAX, and now they got her. And it's, by the way, the guy interviewing on this Backrid, it's the same dude that did the Schwartz LAX interview last week, same guy that did the Ariana coming out of Starbucks interview yesterday. It's this one dude chasing all of these people. And when it's the same dude over and over again, I'm not saying these are staged, but it is funny that it's the one dude. You can tell it's the same voice. And especially with the Raquel one that we see today, it was so detailed. Like, there's no, like, did Raquel forget about a gag order? He literally was like, did Sheena hit you? And she's like, Sheena knows what happened that night, but I will say I have a permanent scar on my eyebrow. And he's like, yeah, I can see that. And he goes, hey, did you make out with Schwartz as a cover for Sandoval? And Raquel goes, no, I had a genuine interest in Schwartz. That was genuine. Like, these are things that are great to know, but I really think Andy would be pissed seeing this because these are questions he should be asking. Don't fumble the bag, Raquel. Like, we already are really bothered by you in a lot of ways, more bothered by Tom, of course, but, like, what are you doing? And by the way, this is how set up this was. Just sitting outside of a nail salon. You know how you do. Like, you know, there's seats inside. In fact, you can see the seats inside empty, and she's, like, sitting there. She's like, they're like, how you doing, Raquel? And she's like, okay. And she kind of makes it seem like everything's okay, and it's like, you know, it's just bad weather we're having. Okay, what's next here? We have Tom Sandoval. I love these series of pictures. Like, it's like Tom Sandoval on the run. He's like, I'm a bad boy. I'm the bad boy of Vanderpump Rules now. So this is fascinating. We got this information from Entertainment Tonight. Anthony Dominic, I love this guy. He wrote this article saying Vanderpump Rules star Tom Sandoval threatens to stop filming after the scene with Raquel Levis. And it says Tom drew a line in the sand with the producers of Vanderpump Rules. And Tom wasn't happy, a source says, with how the scene went with Raquel when they filmed this about a week and a half ago and felt like it was going to paint him in a negative light. Sorry to say, Tom, that negative light has already fully been painted. Nobody's going to be like, you know, on second thought, I think this is a pretty cool thing that Tom did. He told producers he'd like to refilm the scene, but producers weren't having it. Can you imagine? Just give me one more shot, man. Just give me, you know what? What's my motivation in the scene? Could somebody direct me? I've been cheating with this girl for a while. I've had a nine-year relationship with Ariana. What am I thinking here? Like, I don't think it just pulled off. The source also adds Tom told production that he would no longer shoot Vanderpump Rules if they don't listen to him. In a since-deleted tweet, star Jax Taylor says Sandoval is refusing to film as well. He, you know, like I always say on the podcast, we now have the return of ancient evils. Jax, Brittany, Kristen Doty, who I don't mind as much, but these are people that were off the show and now they're all creeping out of the woodwork. But I do think it's fine. This actually gives us a little more clarity on how Tom Sandoval is thinking about this, where he wants to look good still. He wants to find a way. If you watch the show with like a different lens now with everything that's happened, it's always been told to us that he's wanted to come off looking like a good guy. And I truly feel he was caught in this and it didn't come out the way he wanted to come out, where I believe he would have broken up with Ariana after the reunion and then had whatever time, a couple months to kind of rebuild, come into a new season, and we would potentially be more empathetic towards the situation. But when he did it this way, this is just horrible from start to finish. So sorry, Tom, I think we're not going to let you reshoot that scene. Also, in Tom Sandoval news, this is great. His band, Tom Sandoval and the Most Extras, which I've seen live, I think I've seen live like four times, and I had way too good of a time, but that's when I liked Tom, and I don't know, like, I'm still wrestling with that with a therapist and myself right now, but he's playing a free Houston show amid cheating scandal. So, I mean, I don't know what to tell you people of Houston. I don't know, maybe move, if you like free stuff. I mean, I don't know, like, Listen, these are real musicians. I will say that. I don't want to crap on them at all. I've had a lot of fun. It's all cover songs. My curiosity, though, and it's so fascinating. I've gotten emails and DMs where a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, I'm seeing Tom and April. I'm seeing, like, it really doesn't seem to stop people in terms of, like, I think part of it is they want to see mess. They want to see, like, how somebody's holding up through something kind of so potentially evil. I think there's some kind of titillation in that. But it is weird. Like, I would think people would just, like, I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm good. I don't need to see him ever again. But I still get people going, yeah, I'm seeing him in April. Or like, oh, you should come here. We're going to see him there. So here's a free Houston show. It's going to be May 12th at the Avenida Houston. He's going to perform from 6 to 9 as part of the Party on the Plaza series. And, I don't know. I mean, will you Houstonites go see Tom Sandoval and the Most Extras? I mean, I think the only thing, I mean, they could actually pay you guys to go see it. Maybe that would actually make it a little more appealing. But this will be in May. The show will probably be close to the reunion, so it might be a fun watch. I mean, it'll also be interesting to see if people boo him, if people shout Ariana like they did at the OC show the night this whole story broke. So we'll see. What else do we got? Okay, here we go. Jax and Brittany. Jax Taylor and Brittany Cartwright clear up Vanderpump Rules drama. They teased their reality TV return, and the Vanderpump Rules alum sat down with Entertainment Tonight. Entertainment Tonight, by the way, you know, they really have one of the best reality show departments out there. I truly do that. I truly do believe that. So everybody's like, oh my God, they're getting their 15 minutes worth of fame because of this Sandoval cheating story. And it's like, yes, everybody is. Even the cast members are cashing in on this. Send it to Daryl merch. We got, I mean, everybody is. So Jax and Brittany. Listen, Jax filmed a villains reality show for E! That we know about. So people are like, oh, maybe he's going to be promoting that. But you guys, it's even more than that, because they have, get ready for the surprise of your life. They have, like everybody else in America, has a new podcast promoting called When Reality Hits. And they hinted at a return to the franchise. I mean, I would hope that they were hinting at, like, we'd like to return. And I know they really genuinely would like to return. But it's just wild. And I'll be really curious, because Watch What Happens Live, we're recording this on Wednesday. They're going to be on Watch What Happens Live after the new Vanderpump Rules episode tonight. And listen, I am genuinely curious, and I have been since this was announced, what Jax will get. Will we get the pious Jax? Will we get the martyr Jax? Will we get the, listen, Andy, I played a villain on TV, but that's not the real me. You know me, Andy. And Brittany will be like, ah, I'm so excited to be back. I kept the weight off from Weight Watchers. Wah! Now, a couple things about their podcast. Welcome to the podcasting community, Jax and Brittany. The water is fine. Jump on in. I'm so curious about what this show will be. I was talking to my friend Laura Marie Shainalls yesterday. She's very excited about this podcast as well. How many episodes do you think they'll do? Who are going to be the special guests? The one thing, though, that worries me just in terms of the podcast is Jax has always come from a place, regardless of the Sandoval scandal, a place from dishonesty. Like, he really lies about everything. Remember when he told Vanderpump Rules that he was starring in the sequel to Apocalypto, the Mel Gibson film? He said he was starring in Apocalypto 2. Like, he would just make random lies. So, as fascinating as this would be, I mean, this could work two ways. This truly could be an informative podcast if Jax really tells the truth and Brittany really tells the truth. But it could also work as just a completely comedic podcast if they don't do that. So it could work both ways, but I actually will be listening. The only other concern, if the podcast art, you see it, it's a really cute photo, but they put their kid front and center, and it's a very cute boy. I just always worry when people put their children in the cover art for anything that they're promoting, but that's them. Listen, Brittany said, we have things that are coming, arising. She used the word arising, and she was shooting down an appearance by the couple on the current season of Vanderpump Rules. She goes, I don't know what we're allowed to say. We're working on a situation. What I'd like to have is the parents on one show, and that's what I wanted, but I don't know. Scandoval is causing a lot right now, so they're kind of waiting to see how this plays out. By the way, this is an idea they've had now for years. It's an idea the fans actually, I think, came up with first of Vanderpump Kids and Vanderpump. So I think they've had the same idea forever, and they've had the same playbook as well for since they've been let go. We got a new show coming. We got things in the work, and it's been close to 3 years, so I guess we're finally seeing some of those things in the work. Okay, now we are finally to this story. If you noticed the mid-season trailer, and by the way, thank you for watching the YouTube video. Make sure you subscribe, smash that like button. I know this is crazy, but once I get to 5,000 subscribers, I'm eating a raw onion because I hate that, and it just sounds so gross. And what was scaring me was that, like, we've grown 1,000 followers, I think, in the, like, last week, and we only have, like, 190 more followers to get to eat that raw onion. So maybe don't subscribe. I don't know. I'm really scared to eat that raw onion, but thank you, guys. Anyways, in the preview, we see a dude skinny dipping with Ariana Madix at Sheena's wedding, and everybody was like, who's this dude? Is Ariana like? And so the mystery partner in this scene is revealed. I love it. It says mystery hunk. This man is a friend of the podcast, Brett Kenyon. He's one of Sheena's best friends, and it's hysterical because he was like, hey, listen up. I guess I have to come out as gay. He was actually a proud gay man completely, and he was really cracking up about the mid-season trailer. He spent this past weekend in Glendale, Arizona. He went to both of the Taylor Swift shows, but I was texting with him a couple of days ago, and I think he's going to come on the show soon when he's allowed to. But he just says, like, it's the funniest thing. Like, people are like, I have to keep telling people that I'm gay. It's like, this is the, like, hey, man, I'm gay. I have no designs on Ariana Madix. So Brett Kenyon, he's also a waiter over at Tom Tom. And he's just a really, really fun, nice dude. So that is the mystery revealed there. Ariana is not hooking up with Brett Kenyon. And to my knowledge, Ariana is not hooking up with anybody yet. So hopefully the world is her oyster literally at this point. Okay, now we go to Raquel Leviss and Sheena Shea. Can they both attend the reunion tomorrow? This is the big thing, because there was a TRO, or a temporary restraining order, a hearing that's set for March 29th, which of course is after the reunion. So everybody was like, can they even be in the same facility? Is Sheena going to have to Zoom in? And poor Sheena, like, Sheena is one of the hardest working women in reality show history, I think. And you know damn well she wants to be there. And it was so funny because the discourse I was encountering, people were like, sorry, Sheena, you're going to have to Zoom in. We want Raquel in person. But it looks like now we're hearing that production is going to make sure that they are both there. But they will also make sure that they'll make sure they are far enough away. I don't know what that looks like to production. They are far enough away where they'll both be able to be on premises. Now, when they bring Raquel out, maybe Sheena will have to go into another room and be over Zoom, which there's like an Incredible Hulk kind of thing of like Sheena just like, aah! You know those old photos of Sheena when she was like, you know, she looked like a juggalo from like Insane Clown Posse. And I'm like, you just like imagine just Sheena in another room, and Raquel's like, she was so mean to me after she found out about the cheating. And Sheena's just getting angrier, and Brock's like, honey, calm down, don't do it, honey. And like Sheena's like, let me at him, let me at him. So production swears that they're all gonna be there. So they said they will both be on premises. But that's all they're really saying. I had heard that these temporary restraining order, the whole hearing was going to be dropped by now, but that does not seem to be the case. And of course, like I told you earlier, when the TMZ person interviewed Raquel today, said that she has a permanent scar on her eyebrow now. So I am so curious. And we see in the mid-season trailer, Sheena say, I was just so angry, in a scene that was shot a week and a half ago. So everything will be revealed. Also, I think there's a slight possibility. Raquel seems so, not wishy-washy, but it seems like she's very pliable in what you can make her potentially do. I mean, potentially, you know, with Sandoval and stuff like that. I feel like when she gets in that moment, and you know those producers and Andy are going to, like, not be kissing her ass, but really have that delicate balance of, Raquel, this is your time to tell your story. I have this weird feeling that Raquel be like, okay, she can come out and we can do this. I don't know. It's just this weird feeling I get that Raquel could potentially be talked into this. But regardless, the hearing is set for the 29th. I believe it's like 8:30 a.m. If I'm still in town, I will be out front of that courthouse, and we'll see. But they are supposed to not converse. Okay, and then finally, you guys, to leave on a non-Vanderpump Rules story is, Ultimate Girls Trip Season 3 is premiering Thursday. Whenever you're watching this, maybe even today, it premieres today. So it's also a reminder, Real Housewives of Miami, this season was one of the best seasons I've ever seen of any Housewives show. It makes me believe again in Housewives as a franchise. So good. All of these ladies are so dynamic, so dramatic. They bring something to it. Everyone just speaks so amazing. They speak in talking head phrases. Just so good. But anyways, we're going to get the first three episodes of season three on Peacock as well. I'm telling you guys, Peacock is worth the like 10 bucks or 8 bucks or whatever you have to pay a month, because it really is part of, you get to be part of an elite conversation, I feel. They really are putting some of the best shows over there now. They eventually rerun over on Bravo as well. The only question about season three of Ultimate Girls Trip that is confusing me is there was no media blitz. There was like, we're hardly seeing previews on Bravo. I saw a couple last night during Jersey, but not really at large. Not like I saw with the first two seasons, and especially Dorinda's season two. We've seen a couple clips of Leah McSweeney getting lambasted by Giselle, and it doesn't seem like Leah is going to have a very good season. Also, we know that Candace and Giselle are coming from Potomac season, and I hear there's a lot of rumbling there. Of course, we have the Heather and Whitney relationship that is really busted again on season three. So I'm really excited to see this. It's just weird because I don't feel the excitement anywhere else. And I'm like, this is coming to tomorrow. This is coming on Thursday. Why is everybody not excited? So that is the Bailey Mail for today. Thank you so much for listening, watching, whatever you're doing. Thank you to Meditza for working the ones and twos. I mean, truly an amazing job. I mean, look at these photos. This is, and it's so much better because my face is kind of tiny and I like that. Look at these photos. Look at these beautiful women. Pray that Jax and Brittany don't come back to Vanderpump Rules after Watch What Happens Live tonight, and pray for that reunion tomorrow. I'm hoping there's going to be a lot of leaks. I'm sure there will be if the last couple of weeks tells us anything. There's going to be a lot of leaks. And also, congratulations to Ariana Madix, who actually, it was just announced, she booked a lead role in a Lifetime movie and with Megan Good, the actress. Like, look how cool this is. She booked a Lifetime movie role, and I think that is just amazing. The cool thing about that is like, man, good things happen for good people. Even if you're down, even something bad happens in your personal life, there can be good at the end of the tunnel. And I like this. This is such a victory. And just a little bit of thing, like I used to be an acting teacher and Ariana went to the school that I worked at and her notes, like we had notes on every actor and her notes were great. She's a really good actor and she did this. She's actually been in a lot of like B and C movies before Vanderpump Rules was anything. Like I think she's in a movie with C. Thomas Howell and all that. But she actually is somebody that can act. So I think I'm just so damn excited for her. And I think what a great time for this to happen. And Megan Good is amazing as well. So you guys have a great rest of your day, evening, whenever you're watching this. And thank you so much. What you're always supposed to say on YouTube, smash that like, subscribe, and all of that stuff. And I will talk to you for the Vanderpump Rules recap. That's going to be coming out on Friday, I believe, which is always a lot of fun. And I've got to get my throat ready for my recal voice. We'll be back to that in just 1 second. Now is my favorite part of the show when I get to talk about our sponsor. And today we have a returning sponsor. It is our friends over at Nutrafol. Now, I love Nutrafol because, listen, I love my hair. I'm just going to say it, and I have a vested interest in continuing to have glorious hair. So I am now a proud user of Nutrafol, and I think you should be too. Now, I'm a dude, and this can be used for dude, but it's also really used for women. 30 million women are impacted by weakened or thinning hair. And if you're among them, know that you are not alone and that there is a solution you can trust to deliver results. And by the way, thinning hair is it's common. It is a normal experience for millions of Americans. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, clinically shown to improve your hair growth, thickness, and visible scalp coverage. It supports healthy hair growth from within by targeting the 5 root causes of thinning. Stress, I got that. Hormones, I think I got that. Environment, yep, got that. Nutrition, I've got that. And metabolism through whole body health. Now, it has three unique formulas to support women throughout all stages of life, including postpartum and menopause. And each formula is physician-formulated using natural, drug-free, medical-grade ingredients in consistently effective dosages so you get the most reliable results. They even did a clinical study, you guys. 86% of women reported improved hair growth after 6 months. 3,000 plus doctors, top doctors, and stylists recommended Nutrafol as an effective and high-quality solution for healthier hair. Now, listen, you guys, I've been taking this now for about a month and a half. I mean, listen, they say that you're not going to see results for a couple of months, but I'm telling you, like, my hair is like the biggest it's ever been. And I'm sure that's just me not getting a haircut, but I love it. Also, I said this the last time, but it is one of the coolest. In fact, I have one of the empty bottles that I saved just because it is like, I've never like held a bottle that is like weirdly so well made. Like the heaviness of it, it's like, I'm like, I'm keeping this. This is wild. But okay, you guys, you can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show, So Bad It's Good, by going to Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. And you can enter the promo code So Bad, which I always like, why is it so bad? It should be so great or so good. But yeah, the code is So Bad. You get to save $15 off your first month's subscription. This is their best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. Plus, you get free shipping on every order. So get $15 off at Nutrafol, Nutrafol.com, promo code SOBAD. You guys only, you take 4 pills every day, and you're going to begin to experience thicker, stronger, faster growing hair in 3 to 6 months. Also, you guys might know my mom's going through stuff. And right now she doesn't have hair. And I keep joking to her about this product. And she's like, heck yeah. Okay. Once we're done with, I'm going to try Nutrafol. So I think Becky Bailey is going to be a customer. If you don't have, that's like the best. I mean, that's the best customer you can get. So anyways, try that. It's going to be in the show notes as well, you guys. So just click on it, check it out for yourself. And hopefully you'll give it a shot. Good today. This is actually a very special occasion because now, you guys have heard my mom and dad on so much. You've also heard our next guest's son and brother on a couple of years ago. But now they've officially decided to come on 3 years later for a very, very special purpose. That is because Taylor Swift started her Eras concert tour, and they started in Glendale, Arizona. She's starting like a 52-date tour. This, like, by the way, the attendance on this topped the Super Bowl. I think there was over like 72,000 people there, including my sister and my niece. So please welcome Kara and Addison Horrocks to So Bad It's Good. Welcome, you guys.
Hi.
Addison, I think you seem the most excited to be here. But I want to say, so you guys are, who's the biggest Taylor Swift fan of both of you?
My mom.
Yeah.
100%.
I think it's, and by the way, Kara was sending the group text a lot of the photos, and Kara looked so much happier than my niece in every one of those photos. She looked like she was the school kid. You ended up really liking the show, right, Addison?
Yeah, it was really good. It was probably the best concert I've been to.
But Kara, you liked it probably. You probably thought it was the best show you've ever been to in your life.
I think it is the single best event ever, second to Jesus coming back again. Honestly, it's Jesus.
And
then
Taylor. So. And by the way, you're very religious, so that actually really is saying something. That's not even I want to get into the experience a little bit because it was such a big event. They told you it would be like the Super Bowl. So the concert didn't start until like 8, right?
Oh, her? Yeah, I guess, what was it, 8, 8:15?
So Yeah, Taylor Swift came on about around 8.
Okay.
And then like 6:30 was Gayle, and then like
Paramore afterwards.
Paramore,
yeah.
Was at like 7.
So doors opened at 4:30 where you could actually get in. But we got there, let's see, we left your house at 1:30.
We got there at like 2:30.
Yep, 2:30. And then we walked in, and then we stood in a 2.5 hour merchandise line. But then we just got right in.
Okay, wait. You're brushing past a lot of this. You got there. That's what I wanted to. You got there at 2:30.
Yeah.
For a, you know, the first artist started at 7. So 2:30 in your head, what was your plan? Like, what did you think you were going to do? Just walk around and watch people, or you thought it was going to take forever to get in?
Well, I thought it was going to, traffic was bad getting there because it was a Friday afternoon, which is always heavy traffic. And it was stop and go. And then I thought we would have time to walk to Westgate, which is the entertainment district right next to the Cardinal Stadium. So I thought we were going to walk there. And I know a lot of the restaurants were doing Taylor Swift themed, you know, food and drinks. So I thought we would have time to walk there, check people out. But as soon as we got to the parking lot, everyone started standing in line to like actually get into the outside of the stadium. So I just thought, man, if people are already lining up, we should line up too. So I just kept following lines.
So you get in there though, and then you can't get into the stadium yet. So you're into the outer part of the stadium, and you decide to get some merchandise right off the bat instead of interrupting the show. Right. And really truly stayed in that line for 2.5 hours.
Yes. Truly stood in this line for 2.5 hours, and it was worth it.
wait, Addison, was it worth it for you? I mean, I can't imagine 2.5 hours in a line. Were you loving yourself? Was you loving that?
The merch was literally online. You could have just gone online and bought it. And we waited in line for 2.5 hours.
But it's the friends you make along the way, right? Did you make a lot of friends in line?
Yeah, we made Canadian friends. They flew out from Canada. Know if you want to use this on your show, but we so we're standing in the merchandise line. So it's been 2.5 hours, and we finally got to the trailer part, and we're standing in line, and we happened to be standing in the line that was closest where people exit. Well, also right next to that exit thing was a cool thing on the trailer that, you know, said Eras Tour. So people were coming up and taking pictures. Well, there was these little girls that were probably what, 7, 8, 9 years old. Did I tell you this already? Like 10.
You told me this yesterday, but I do wait. Oh, so you're 10 years
you
old
and you, were, you this?
Yeah, I do. You were telling me that they were cutting in line at the beginning of the line for the t-shirts.
Yes, and they were dressed really like crazy inappropriately for little girls, like very
very trying to be provocative. Yeah. For that
makeup,
age.
Totally inappropriate. And then they're standing there. And so the Canadians behind me, we were like, oh, heck no. And then
they're like, hey, no way there. They're hoser.
The mom was going to go up, and I was like, well, I got your back. And she's like, well, we're from Canada. We're known to be friendly. I'm going to do it the friendly way. And so she got up and she talked to the girls, and they were just ignoring us. And
well, they just said that they were just looking.
They said they were just looking, but they were in line. We're like, you're obviously not looking. And so then we told everybody around the little girls, we're like, hey, they cut. And then we told the sellers, they cut, don't sell to them. And so everyone's telling them, these little girls were telling them to get out. And then,
Wait, so you waited 2.5 hours. Why didn't you just send Addison over to beat them up or something like that?
Well, I was, but then I wanted to.
But by the way, you said also, you said their mom was watching from from a distance, and she wasn't doing anything.
She sent them. And so I was like, and so when we kicked them out the first time, and then I got my merchandise and I was leaving the line. And next thing you know, all of a sudden I looked and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're back again. And then I looked for the mom because I wanted to go up and say something to the mom and show, because the Canadian and I were joking around. I was like, well, you tried your nice Canadian way. I was like, I'm going to try the American way.
Oh my God. Wait, so is it true that 80 people passed away that night at the merchandise table? Is that true?
80 people?
I'm joking. Oh. No, I'm joking. Wait. So how much merchandise did you get, Addison?
We only got two things to just share, a shirt and a sweatshirt.
She is very cruel, and she would not let me buy more. I wanted to buy the bracelet.
You wanted to buy the friendship bracelet. I went online and I saw the merchandise.
It was $30.
That's still overpriced.
Anyways, I kept wanting to. I was like, oh, I should get this, and she kept saying, no, mom, a shirt and a sweater. That's all, mom.
And by the way, you guys don't know Addison, but she is famous for saving her money. She, by the way, she, if you asked her, I bet she has more money in her account than I do right now. So that's, that does not surprise me at all. But I feel like you should have let your mom potentially, I mean, it wasn't your money. She was spending her money.
Yes, but like, there was like $35 for this little bracelet. You can literally like it get was, on eBay.
I don't care. It was really pretty. And I could have said I got it. But the people watching was amazing standing in line. So it was fantastic. Like all the people dressed up in different costumes of her.
So you weren't bored ever. You weren't like, I can't believe we have to be here six. I mean, Addison might have been bored a little bit, but you were fine.
I got thirsty and there was a taco cart that denied me food. And then they continued to give everybody else food. But
clarify that too, because you said that to me. They didn't turn you away. It's just that they said they were closing and then all this, you walked away and then they decided to keep selling. Yes. It wasn't, they're like, we're not serving you in particular.
No, but I felt that way. I felt like they weren't serving me.
You know what? That's probably the mom of those girls in line. And she saw that you were like, she saw you wouldn't let them cut, you know?
Probably was. So if I had water, it would have been more pleasant. But no, it was fine because what else were we going to do? There was nothing else to do anyways.
Go down to that one area that we were talking about earlier.
Oh, she wanted to go.
Wait. Addison. Was your mom, was she drinking? Was she throwing them back?
No, I went.
I'm joking. Okay. So you get into the stadium and it's huge. You got there really early. So, I mean, it seems like it, I mean, how quickly did that thing fill in terms of, because Los Angeles audiences get there really late. I got to see Billy Joel a couple of weeks ago and they didn't even get there on time. It was really like, was the Arizona audience, and it was her opening night. So everybody was so excited. I'm imagining they were all there immediately. Like
for
the crowd.
Taylor Swift, they were there.
They started coming like during Paramore's performance.
Yeah.
That's like when it really started to get packed.
Yeah. I say by the end of Paramore, I would say it was almost completely filled by the end of Paramore. But Gail went on first and that was great. And there was probably.
Yeah. We keep watching videos of her and I wasn't familiar with her, but she sounds like she's really great. Everybody keeps going, oh, I didn't know about her, but she was great. They opened one of the opening acts.
Well, in her end song, I don't even know the name of it, the ABCD,
the
ABDFU song. Anyways, at the end, you're like, oh yeah, I know that song. She did a great cover of Alanis Morissette.
You ought to know?
Gail did. It was really great.
Oh, nice.
It was.
And then really did you guys like Paramore?
Love Paramore. The whole band, but like, I have to say, I don't know her name, the lead singer.
Haley Williams.
Man. Yeah. She's great. Like she's got she's fun to watch. She's really entertaining. She's comfortable on the stage. I really loved watching her take the stage and just be comfortable with it. And it was cool hearing how she was friends with Taylor Swift. And she told a story about, but she told a story about how when she was 18, she was at, I want to say the Grammys perhaps performing, and she was only 18 and she was young. And she goes, and then the mom of, you know, this big star comes up to me and is like, hey, or Taylor wasn't that big at the time, but she was like, hey, my daughter, you know, is getting into music and I would like her to have, you know, another female friend that's young too, because it's a lonely place. And so she gave the Paramore singer Taylor Swift's cell phone number. And the Paramore girl was like, hey, she's like, so I didn't text her because, you know, I just didn't. But I guess she reached out to Swift after the VMA awards, after Kanye West.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so she reached out to her then, and then they became really good friends. And so that was kind of cool to know that they were friends. That made it special.
So was there a countdown to Taylor Swift?
Okay. So that was the coolest thing ever. Next thing you know, that like the clock comes on and it's like 2 or 3 minutes till midnight, you know, which was just fabulous. And everyone is screaming. I'm telling you, like, everyone is like, oh my God, oh my God. I literally almost cried.
Wait. And Addison, at what point were you really embarrassed to be there? Like, cause you're watching your mom freak out and I can't imagine you seem like really level headed. Were you crying and freaking out as well? Or was and what was that like? Were you scared at any point to be with your mom at that point?
I was very embarrassed the whole time.
And you were like singing along
with a bunch of 20-year-olds.
No. Okay. I'm 44, but I felt very at home. There was a lot of people older than me. Okay. And did you know, remember the people behind us? They were older, probably in their 60s, white hair.
Wait, what?
Remember the people right behind us, behind the annoying girls. And at first, well, whatever. But I kept thinking like, are they here with somebody? But then I don't know if you noticed this, you and I haven't talked about it, but as soon as the countdown went from like 10, 9, 8, and this woman, she had to be, I'm guessing 67. Next thing you know, I heard her scream, "Oh my God, I love you there." And I was just like, so happy to hear this old woman older than me loving her just as much. I mean, that's the cool thing.
That reminds me of my mom, your grandma, Addison, where we went to Michael Bolton as a family with her once, but then I took her by myself once and she was like losing her mind over Michael Bolton. It was just wild. And I like Taylor Swift a lot more than I like Michael Bolton, but it was still really scary to see. So what song did she open with? Do you remember? And what was her entrance like?
I can't even.
She didn't open up with that big of a song.
Well, I think it was from the Lover album.
She went through the different eras, you guys, because Taylor has different. She started with the Lover era.
Yeah.
And she did 44 songs over 3 hours and 10 minutes. And she didn't do, there was no like intermission or anything, correct?
No, not for her. There wasn't. When she came on, it was just amazing. It was just beautiful and amazing. And her costumes are just fabulous. The sparkles are just amazing. And the whole crowd was sparkling though. Like almost everyone had.
Yeah. Because didn't they give you wrist bracelets too that lit up? So it like to the song, it would light it up to cool. Each one.
They would make it like the arena people into hearts, like a whole section of hearts.
Pumping hearts.
Cool. And everything about it was just like, it was just amazing. I mean, it's like a cross between a Broadway show and concert, and it's just so entertaining. Like, I think she's the number one entertainer. She knows how to grip an audience, I think. And the cool one, okay, so in between her eras, which was so cool, like, you know, she'd go out, of course, with a bang, and then you're so excited to like, which era is it going to be next? And you really have no idea. The only one you kind of knew is when, was it Evermore and Folklore, because of the trees and then
the house.
Yeah. So for those you kind of knew, but the coolest one, her coolest was it. Well, okay. Well, we'll get to Reputation in a second. Cause that was amazing. but I forget which one she was finished with, and she dove into the stage.
That's like, what I was going to, I've seen that on TikTok a bunch. Cool. Is that this thing opens up and they're trying to figure out how she does it, but she really literally dives in. There's obviously like I've heard theories of that wasn't her. That's a double that dives, but then that was her, but it's just like a pit of like foam.
So I laid in bed last night trying to figure out how she dived. Obviously it's not.
This is what you're thinking about when you're lying in bed at night. This is what
I thought about it. I'm pretty sure at first I thought a ball pit, but then I was talking to a friend today and I think it's foam. I think it's like when you go to these trampoline parks.
Yeah, it's probably like a soft thing.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah, but if she's diving head first, isn't there the risk? Like, remember when, you know, your parents tell you not to dive, you know, you could hurt your head in an accident or something like that?
Yeah, no, but you've never you've never been to those parks nowadays with kids. I have. There's these thick foam, and it's really hard to get out of. And any of your listeners with kids who have gone to the trampoline parks with the foam, you could dive straight in and never hit the bottom. Yeah, so I'm pretty sure it's foam. And then they had the video. It was a video of her swimming.
Like, yeah, because the stage is like half of the stadium, and it would show what looks like somebody swimming throughout that to the actual stage, which obviously is a video effect. I actually did see a footage of her beforehand training for this, where there's this actual piece that'll take her. She'll climb on it, and it's like a piece of metal that like shoots her down to the very end. And she just lays flat, and then it just takes her down. She like lays down like this in a like a stretcher, and then the stretcher like, you know, takes, I'm sure she dives in, then has to get up, get on that stretcher, and then it takes her down to the actual stage and forth.
That's cool. It was so fun. That was a fun.
How were the background dancers and singers?
They were all pretty cool.
They were good.
I was watching them.
They're background people. Yeah, they were good though. I love, like, they just seemed like they were having fun, you know? Yeah. And I think I liked it at the very end, you know, before her final song, she said like, hey, you know, when they have the, you clap for everybody and they're like, these people, you know, this is what they've been training for their whole lives or, you know.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
just
yeah.
Sweet. It was just, I like just, they seemed relaxed and they seemed to have fun and that they liked being there. I just love them. Yeah. I really like some of the scenes too, of just like them there was this really cool one. I can't remember which song, but like they're all looking, they're all wearing black and the background singers are all looking down and they're all walking forward and Taylor is looking up. But anyways, I just thought it was just so dramatic.
What was your favorite song, both of you guys? What was your favorite one of the whole night?
What was your favorite? Well, our favorite era was Reputation.
It was all the ones in Reputation.
All, I mean, I'm telling you, Reputation just kicked butt. Like everyone was, what's the song? I always forget the name of it.
Look What You Made
Me Do. Oh, Look What You Made Me Do. I always forget it. And, oh my gosh. I feel like, to me, I told Addison, I felt like everyone, that was the loudest. Like people were into it. I was into it. The snakes. Oh my gosh. In between, like, so you knew finally when you knew what era it was going to be, they just, you know, they had the snake and then they had the sound of her heels clicking, you know,
like a rattlesnake, then, like slithering through, like you could see certain points on the stage. And then it was like,
it was fantastic. And I love Folklore and Evermore, the chiller.
I do too.
She does such a killer job in those. She played, oh, and my favorite song is always, oh my gosh, why am I forgetting? Starts with the D. Dang it. Not dang it.
Is it dang it. Wow. I've never heard that.
No. Word. I said it. She sang it though. Oh, she did the 10-minute version of All Too Well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That was amazing. Gosh, what's the song I love? And I was like, this is my song. Record it. Addison was my recorder.
Here. Wait, so you would just like lean down to Addison and go, remind me that I really like this.
Yeah, I'd give her my phone. No, I'd give her my phone and tell her to record the songs so I could enjoy it uninterrupted.
I'm trying to find the set list here to read to some of you or read. So you had, let's see here, Miss Americana and the Heartbreak Prince is what she opened with, into Cruel Summer, The Man.
Oh, yeah, that was amazing.
You Need to Calm Down, Lover, The Archer, Fearless, You Belong With Me, Love Story, 'Tis the Damn Season, Willow, Marjorie, Champagne Problems, Tolerate It, Ready for It, Dedicate, Don't Blame Me, Look What You Made Me Do, Enchanted, 22, We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, I Knew You Were Trouble, All Too Well, Invisible String, Betty, The Last American Great Dynasty, August, Illicit Affairs, My Tears, Ricochet, Cardigan, Style, Blank Space, Shake It Off, Wildest Dreams, Bad Blood, Mirror Ball, Tim McGraw, Lavender Haze, Anti-Hero, Midnight Rain, Vigilante, Bejeweled, Mastermind, and Karma. There's no D songs on there.
Yeah, so obviously I don't know the name of the song.
Oh, wait. No, sorry. Delicate and Don't Blame You were D's.
Delicate.
Okay, Delicate. Okay, good. Okay. So your favorite song was Delicate, potentially. Look What You Made Me Do.
But that's Delicate's my favorite song, so I was glad she sang it.
I wonder if she'll do this in different orders in different towns, because it seems like one of the coolest things for you guys was to see how she went from era to era. I wonder if she'll switch those eras up at all, or if this is the show for the next year.
I kind of hope she doesn't, because it was amazing. The one that she did say she's going to switch up is the acoustic. So
yeah, Tim McGraw. Yeah.
It was Mirror Ball is the one, but I thought Tim McGraw she might stick with. But yeah, she said the acoustic set was the one that she's going to switch up and try never to do twice.
Well, was there any bad moments of the show? Was there anything that you did not like besides sitting next to your mom at the show? Was there anything in any moments that were like, this needs some work?
Nothing about the show. No,
no.
These are people.
No, there was some annoying teen girls next to us.
So annoying.
That were taking selfies of themselves
the whole
singing
time.
The song. The whole so they
time.
Weren't.
Yeah. Welcome to the internet. Welcome to the internet. That's TikTok. That's what it is.
No, it's wrong and gross. Cause I'm like, we're here for Taylor. Like who, like, I'm sorry. If you're going to post something online, I want to see Taylor Swift. I don't want to see you singing Taylor Swift because you're nothing. And
yeah, they're just looking at the phones.
It was gross. And they were so annoying. They were so annoying.
They kept bumping into us.
Yeah.
They kept asking us to take photos of them over and
I'm
over.
I'm like, just enjoy Taylor Swift. Just enjoy the show. Let me teach you how to enjoy it.
Let me teach you how. Oh, okay. So here's Bridget, who's one of my listeners and a Patreon member. She messaged me and said, hey, I'm not going to use these, but I would, you know, I really like your show. Would you like 2 tickets to the Florida show she had? What would your recommendation? Would you say I should go to Florida to see Taylor Swift?
Absolutely. Yeah. Even Addison shaking her head. Yes. And that's coming from a non-Taylor. I would say 100%. get yourself to Florida. You would never regret it. Like, I was at a restaurant just now for a lunch meeting. And so my boss was asking me how the show was. And I was telling her, our waitress heard, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, you went." And I said, "Yes." And then she goes, "Well, I'm kind of thinking about maybe going to a different state to see it." And I said, "You should sell your kidney, and because it's not worth it."
You sell should your sell kidney your kidney. By the way, and by the way, my sister's a medical professional. She's like a registered nurse. You're telling people to sell their kidneys on the black market to go see Taylor Swift. Well, that's really
don't do the black market, but you know, something reputable. Sell
it on a reputable market.
It's
worth
it. Like, seriously, I don't think there's ever going to be something to top it. Except
Jesus coming back. Wait, Jesus coming. Why? What if Jesus comes back and you're like, Taylor was still actually pretty bad? Like, it was like,
no,
you know, he didn't have the eras. He only had the one era. He had
he has the millennial, Ryan.
Okay, this was amazing. Is there anything else that you would want to say about the experience? I mean, obviously you were just over the moon about it and recommend that everybody goes. She really does. She's one of the hardest working. I mean, she's only 33 years old, and she put so much work and effort into this that she has turned me into a fan over the years. Yes. And I have nothing really bad to say about it, because she seems like she cares about her fans. She seems like she's like just so smart, so talented, really, really awesome. But anything else that you want to say or?
Of course, there's always something I could say about Taylor. So real quick, well, it won't be real quick, but I do want to say, like, when she came on scene, I was probably in my 20s and she was a teenager, and I was into country music, and I felt like she ruined country music. And I used to go around saying how much I hated Taylor Swift.
And you did?
Yes, when she was a country. And then after she went pop was when I was like, dang, I realized how talented she was, because she changed country. Like, now if you listen to country, it's pop. And that's because of her. Like, I watched the switch happen. And then when she went pop, I was like, this woman's amazing. Like, she's a genius. And I like how much she likes to collaborate with people, but it's her own. And she cares so much about her fans. And I don't know. And she doesn't get into the drama of everything. I love how, like, Kardashian. Sorry, I know your show is all in the Kardashian.
No. I mean, a lot of that, I don't, I'm not, my show is sometimes about the Kardashian, but it doesn't mean I like them. But also, that's a good lesson, though, in terms of what we talk about on this show a lot, is that normalize being able to change your mind. You can dislike somebody at one point and then grow to really like them based on their actions.
Beck the daylights out of that woman because of the mad talent she has and how she's responded to haters. Like, and I think it's hilarious that she like did a whole album with the snakes. Like, she responds to criticism with just poise and cleverness. And I really admire her.
I was really impressed with Addison's taste in music, because when I was up in her bedroom the last time I was there, she has a Beastie Boys poster and a Guns N' Roses poster, which normally kids aren't into. And I was shocked about that. Did you make her put those up or?
No, she bought them for me.
I encouraged her. She said she wanted them. And I was like, okay, I'll buy them for you.
Oh, and now she's like, I'm over it. Well, bought a Taylor. I'm going to buy a Taylor Swift poster for Addison, and then she can put that up on her wall.
Okay, Ryan, I tried buying that for her and she told me no. And I said, can we put it on your wall? And she told me no.
By the way, because Chris, your husband will probably not let you put the Taylor Swift poster in your bedroom, right?
No. And I thought that might be weird as a grown woman to have that.
Way past weird. You're already way past
no,
that.
I'm not. You are weird. Go to the concert and you would see plenty of people my age and older too, which may
no, by the way, Kara, look at me. My whole life is, I mean, like this is where I'm weirder than you will ever be, but I'm just saying it would be funny if you did put a Taylor Swift poster in your marital bedroom.
Yeah, it would. That'd be pushing it. And I don't want to push things that far, but that's the other thing I want to say about Taylor though, is that to go to one of her concerts though, I think it's so cool to have a multi-generational fan base, you know, like I said, there was a person in their 60s behind me screaming, I love you, Taylor. Like, it was just,
yeah, no, I mean, like, she's one of those people that reaches kind of every demographic there is.
Yeah.
And finally, this, not really, Addison will not be able to answer this. This is just something that happened today in terms of reality shows. One last question is, you've worked in the past with your expertise. I remember growing up, didn't you, you worked with an autistic boy that was really amazing, didn't you?
Yeah, I worked with three autistic.
Yeah, three autistic. Yeah. You know a lot about that. There was like this thing that came up with a reality star. she was potentially hinting at or said that, you know, she did something really bad in the last couple of weeks in the show Vanderpump Rules. This Tom Sandoval guy, like, it was just cheating. It was bad. Everything was bad. And somebody was speculating that she left this comment. She has been off kind of offline for the last 2 weeks and left this comment under this high functioning person, a neurodivergent person with autism, saying, something like, I know how this is, kind of maybe insinuating that she might be neurodivergent, which, you know, we were like, oh, is that possibly her trying to explain her actions? But I want to just even get from you is like being neurodivergent or like there's so many different layers of autism. It doesn't make you do bad things. It doesn't make you cheat on people. It doesn't make you, you know,
really?
And the other thing
trying
is
to blame it on that.
Well, no. She just left a comment. We don't know, but we don't know if that's what it is, but it's something that I've been talking about online today. And I just wanted to say, you know, that's just not neurodivergence or autism. And it's never been in your history with working with people like that as well. And in terms of, can you self-diagnose yourself?
Well, everybody self-diagnosed themselves that you can't go around saying, well, I don't know. I mean, what are you saying? Because people do all the time.
Well, that's people what I'm wondering. I mean, I know we do like, well, I mean, listen, mom, even years ago, you know, WebMD, I read this, I read that, you know, all of this stuff, you know, unfortunately, you know, but what I'm saying is that a lot of people will say nowadays of like, oh, this guy is a narcissist or this guy has autistic ability, you know, autism. You can't self-diagnose to actually get treatment. You have to actually go to a licensed physician or a psychologist to actually get an official diagnosis.
Well,
correct?
Yeah. And that brings up a good point, Ryan. You should mention this too, because, you know, we have a family member in, you know, in our house that's neurodivergent. And one thing he could say it right now is that he says that he gets upset when people claim to have something as a self-diagnosis, because for somebody who really does have something like happen to have autism or happen to have depression or bipolar or whatever, that it takes away from people's real experiences, because he was saying that he wouldn't go around bragging that he had all these things, like, because it's something he struggles with. It's actually a real struggle. So a person saying, well, I have this online, actually probably doesn't have it. Because
what I'm saying is that she just left one comment. People are like, kind of like, oh, is this what she's saying that she has now? So we don't know for sure, but I wanted to also, I think that's a very important conversation to have, is that you really can't self-diagnose. You really can't do these things. No. And it's also just really, if you are to do those things with anything that you have that you actually don't have, it really makes it harder for the people that do go with those things, do struggle with those things, and the family members that help those people as well. So it's a really delicate conversation. Yes. It's something that you shouldn't use for any kind of attention.
Correct. And I like how you use the word delicate in that, because Taylor Swift sings a great song.
I don't know. I think that ties the nice bow on it. You can't end it better than ending with Taylor Swift. Addison, give us all your social media things. How can we follow you? How can we support you? Do you have a PayPal? What do we do? Do you have a Venmo? How do we support Addison and her future endeavors? By the way, your tennis club, which you don't know if you're able to play tennis yet again, right?
I've played a couple times now. I just can't.
Oh, you have?
Everything.
She does her first real lesson again Thursday.
Yeah, she hurt her back over the holidays and it really sucked because she's really good at tennis. Well, Kara, are you going out on tour? Is there anything we can support you with? Is there any, nothing?
Well, you probably won't like me saying this, but, you know, Jesus is King.
By the way, that's a Kanye West album title.
I do know, but he really is king. So
I'm all in support of that. So thank you guys. I love you. And I really appreciate you doing this. And especially you, Addison, because I know this is probably the last thing you wanted to do, but I really appreciate it. And I think I think people will very much enjoy this.
All right. Well, we love you, Ryan. Thank you.
Bye. Okay.
All right.
Betches.